Okay. My website is www.pgrossa.net. My email is p.grossa@rcn.com. And please use that email. I promise you nothing if you don't. Okay, because that's the email I check. I occasionally look at other emails, but not on a regular basis. Okay, so please bring up pgrossa.net. And this is 156. Okay. Examples are where we will find the VB that we're going to be looking at. And I should tell you, actually, before I do that, you're being recorded. I record all my classes, and so you're being recorded, and your recording will end up being either on the here or on a new category, but it's audio for VB, and it will show up under there. The notes that I take will show up on the smart board. Okay? The examples up above are the examples that we will look at. Occasionally, we will also drop down and look at some of them under VB.net, because there's a few examples there that kind of get into some logic that I want to get into. So we will occasionally look at things under programs VB.net, but most of our time will be under the examples. 2015 is what we have here. If you have 2012 at home, that should work fine. I have 12 and 15 and 10 all loaded on my machine, and I don't see any difference really in what's happening in this course. In the advanced course, there's a few things that have popped up differently, but I haven't found anything different for this course. Okay. Syllabus, as you mostly know. Okay. I think the 12 book is just fine. This 15 book is far more expensive. And, in fact, it's just coming out. So I don't even know exactly what's in it. But 12 and 15 are very compatible, and I've sent away for the 15 book a while back, but I haven't got it yet. So as far as I'm concerned, you're going to save a lot of money if you go with the 12, and it's got the basics in it. If I find something once I get it, if I find something that's a little different, I'll let you know. But I think it's more than fine to go with the 12 book. And you can get that cheap, especially if you go secondhand on Amazon. You can get that quite cheap. Okay, so it's your choice, but I think that I'm happy if you get the 12 book. As far as grading, it's the same as other courses that I teach. 80% is the work that you do. 10% is for being responsible about it, keeping up to date, handing in good stuff as opposed to handing in junk, that kind of stuff. And 10% is the final. Okay? So, essentially, homework is what really counts. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. You need to send me an email once a week because that's how I take attendance. I'm actually going to pass around a paper and take attendance today, but that's not how I usually take attendance. I take attendance via the web,
And so if you send me an email once a week, then that's your attendance. Okay? But I've got to get that email once a week. And that can be passing in homework is counts, as long as I hear from you once a week. So passing in homework is fine. Now the deal is that the college is under very strict rules now. So they are passing those rules down to us. And we have to give them a list of anybody that has not been participating in the class for 3 weeks. Some say four, some say three. We're going to go with three just to be sure. So anybody that is not, I haven't heard from in 3 weeks, is assumed not to be involved in the class, and I need to turn your name in. Okay, I'm required to turn your name in. So, as long as I get an email from you once a week, then we're fine, because that's how I'm taking attendance. Okay? But I gotta hear from you once a week. And again, if you're passing in homework, that's fine. Okay? Homework, I will send back to you if it's not working, with comments and suggestions and telling you to fix it. So if you have questions, go ahead and ask before you turn them in. You can send it to me and say, I'm having problems with this thing. Would you look at this part or something like that? But if you pass it in and it's not working, I'm going to send it back in and tell you you've got to get it working. If you tell me what the problems are, I will try to help you with them. And if I encounter problems when I try to run it, I will try to help you with those. Okay? You can get a version of this through what used to be Microsoft DreamStack, but it's now Microsoft Imagine, and I actually spelled image here. It should be Imagine. And you can also download the Express Community Edition for free if you go to Microsoft. So you can download the Community Edition, which is what I actually have at home, is the Community Edition. I don't have the full version of it at home because it takes a lot of room. Okay, so you can download those so that you can have them at home. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. If I send you back something with errors, it has not been graded. So you have to fix it and send it back, or it doesn't have a grade. Okay? I'm looking for stuff that work. Nobody is going to consider the fact that you worked on it for 3 weeks and it didn't work in a job as being a satisfactory solution. Okay? They want something that works. And so the same thing applies here. It's got to be able to work. Okay, so let's start looking at some VB examples. So if you brought up VB, the first example that I'm going to look at is PayCalc and then CIS Basic Project. So basically, I would like you to read the introductory chapter in Chapter 2, and then we'll move on fairly fast for a while through Chapter 3 and up to 4, because those are very basic things. And so we'll move through those fairly fast. So I would download these things so that you have copies of them that you can open. So download paycalc.zip, cisbasicproject.zip. We might get to these two here. I don't know whether we'll get there next. I don't know whether we'll get to them. The InfoCalc project is one that we might get to, and their Calc project is one we might get to. We won't go any further than that today. So you need to download them, unzip them, and then we can run them. Top four. Okay, you go to examples.
These are other examples.
So download the ones that we need, and then we can run. Still hear clicking, so I'm assuming some people are still downloading. Has everybody got them? Questions? Anybody not get them? Okay, so I'm going to go into Visual Studio and I want to open a project. So I'm going to click on Open Project. Okay, and mine are on my E drive. So you keep clicking when you get to the last thing. If it gives you an opportunity for the SLN, you can click on that or on the bottom thing. Either one will work. And if you click on the form, it brings up the form. So basically what you're going to have here is the Solution Explorer window that's open, the properties window that's open. And if I click on this, the form opens. Okay, so I have those three things. If I am developing, I also need the toolbox. But here I'm just going to be looking, so I don't need the toolbox. But if I need the toolbox, I can turn it around, click that, and have it in place. So when the toolbox comes around, if I want to keep using it, I click on the little tack, and it tacks it to the board, and I have it available to me. So if I'm doing development, I want these four things open. When I am just looking and reading and running, I don't need to have these things open. So that's what I'm doing first, is bringing this up, and then we're going to go back and develop one next. But I wanted to just show you a finished product first. Okay. So when I made this one, and again, I'm going to bring up the toolbox, these are labels. So if you go down in the toolbox, you see labels. Okay.
So I drag labels over for all of these things that are basically links.
So I just dragged, when I was creating this form, I dragged the labels over. And then if you look at the properties that go with that label, I have name up there, and this one I call LBL name. Okay, so I dragged label over, and then I came over here, and I changed it and said, it's going to be called LBL name. Okay, so there under name, I put LBL name.
You have two ways you can look in these properties. You can look at them from A to Z, or you can look at it by category. I prefer looking at them by category, so I have the category checked.
Okay? So I called that one LBL name. The next one down, I called LBL hours work. And LBL hours work, I wrote the text on it to say hours worked. Okay? So for each of these labels, what I'm doing is I am picking the text. So name, again, was LBL name. And if I scroll down to text, I will see that I put in name colon as the text there.
Okay. So I dragged over the label tool, dragged it over to here, came over and changed the name of it so that I had LBL name.
And then I went down to the text and I put in the word that I wanted on the form, which was name colon. Okay, so I made a label. And then I did the same thing with these other labels. I dragged over the label from the toolbox, and once I dragged it over, I went over here, gave it a name, and then put the text in that tells what I want. For you that took 120, you've already done this and played around with all of this. But for anybody that didn't take 120, then you haven't played around with this. How many of you did not take 120? Okay, so everybody's comfortable with this then. Yeah, no, maybe?
I haven't messed around with the UI and PD. I just did the coding, so.
Okay. Okay, you didn't do the user interface?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so. Okay, so now I want to put on boxes that I'm going to use to gather information. And for those boxes, I'm using text boxes. So I'm coming down here, and there's the text box. So I'm dragging the text box over, and the text box, I am also giving a name. And text boxes, I gave the name of TXT. So labels are LBL, and texts are TXT.
So I have LBL and I have TXT. And these, I don't put anything in them, so I don't write anything in the text property. Okay. These are the properties. There is a text property. And in the text property, I want it empty. I don't want anything there.
So I leave it blank. Okay? So if you scroll down to the text property underneath here, it's blank, okay?
The text property is blank, so I want those text boxes blank.
So then the next thing that I did when I was making this is I went over and I found the buttons. and there's the button. And I dragged over and I made four buttons. Okay, so here's the first button. And I dragged it over, and the buttons I labeled BTN. So I dragged over a button and labeled it BTN. So I called this BTN Calc. That was the name that I gave it, BTN Calc. And this one I did want to write something on. So if I scroll down to the text box, you can see I wrote calculate gross pay. Okay, so I wrote calculate gross pay there, indicating that I wanted that text in the box. So these are the three basic standard things. I've got a label, I've got text boxes, and I've got buttons. And those are my three kind of standard things. Now, once I get the form set up, I am going to use events to tell me what to do. And the one we're going to look at today is the click event. So what click events are associated with buttons. Okay, so as the programmer, I get this all set up, and then I go to the button and I double click on it. And when I double click on it, it made a private sum. And then I put in the code. Okay, so let me show you that. Right now, what I've got is, by the way, also the design version up here and the code version. So I can go back and forth between design and code. So when I click on design, I get to here. When I click on code, I get here. Okay, so let's go back to design. And I'm just going to take a button and put it on here. And I'm going to leave it name as button one. So I just added a button there, and I'm going to leave its name as button one. Okay? And notice it defaulted. It gave it name of button one, and it gave it text of button one. So now if I double click on button one, notice what it did. It created a subroutine that I'm going to execute if button one is clicked. Okay, so this is the click event. And this is the name of the button. And it does this fine. It says private sum, the name of the button underscore click. And then it puts in the sender and the object and all that, and we just leave those alone, especially in this course. And then it says it handles button one click, meaning it handles the click event on button one. Now, if you go up, those are the events, and these are the objects. So button one is the current object I'm looking at. If I click next to it, I'll see all my objects. And click is the event that I'm using. If I click next to that, I'll see a bunch of different events that I could be using. And we'll get into other events, but for now, we're just sticking with the click event. Let me move this out of the way so I can click the right thing. Okay, so that's my click event, and that's how I put on a button and make an event associated with it. Now, it never will do any harm if you leave that there. But it's messy to have an event that I am not going to do anything with. So basically, I'm going to get rid of it because it says zero references and outside, but it's also just never used. So I'm just getting rid of that. Zero references actually means also subroutines. So the first one that I did was button calc. And so here's the click event for button calc. And in the click event for button calc, I am saying, take the text pay per hour. Okay, so if I go back over here, this field is called text pay per hour. Okay? I can pretty much guess that that would be it. And it's called text pay per hour. And when I go and click on this one, this is called text hours work. And then gross pay, I named text gross pay. So those are the names that I gave it. So if I come back over here, I can see that I'm saying take text pay per hour and take the text property, multiply it by text hours worked for text property. The text property means what is in that box. And it's what the user enters into that box since I left it blank. So I'm taking the things that the user entered into the box. And this is the text property. And why do I have to tell the text property? Because it's a load of properties. I might want to change the color. I might want to change a whole bunch of things. I got to tell it what property I want to change. Well, the property I want to change is the text property. Okay? So, or use, not change in this case, use. Whatever you want to change. So a matter of multiplying text pay per hour by text hours worked and storing it in text gross pay. Okay? And each of them has a text property. Questions. So it set up the private sub. I put what I wanted to happen inside. Okay. Now I had four buttons. The next button was the clear button, I think. The next button was the clear button. So if I go look at the code for the clear button, I simply said clear all of these boxes. So I said all of these boxes I want to clear. I want to do a clear function on them. And we'll look at other ways to handle. Should we drink the water? I'll look at other ways to handle clear as we go along. Clearing things out, but this is one way of doing it. So I'm saying take the text box and do the clear function. Okay? The two parentheses after it tells me it's a function. And this is a function that Microsoft is providing. So it clears out whatever box that I'm putting it on. So I said take text gross pay dot clear, text hours work dot clear. And I'm clearing them all out. The next button is the close button. And I'm saying on the close button, me.close. Me referring to the current page, the current form. And so I'm closing it. Okay. Now, down on the fourth button, which is this one right here. And if you look at this, this one's called, actually I'm going to take this button off because I'm not using it anymore. Calculate, I called it Command Calc More. Okay? Now, usually I use button on these. Okay? And in all the others I use button. But the older method of doing it was sometimes it was called command. So I just wanted to mention basically that a lot of programs or programmers, instead of using ETN, use CNV. Okay, and that's acceptable for the command button because the button was known as the command button. So CNV covered it. Okay. So now what I'm doing inside this subroutine is dim is the way I define a variable. So I've said dim, and I'm setting up a variable. So I called my first variable work pay per hour. So I said dim work pay per hour as double, and double means decimal. Okay, so it's a decimal, it can hold a decimal number. And then I can put two in the same dim, or I can have each one at its own dim. So I did it both ways. I've got a comma and I put the second one in, and then on the next line I've got the dim and I put it in like that. So in other words, I can make a separate dim for everything, or I can have a comma as a separator between the things I'm defining. Okay, so I dimmed these three work areas. Now, what I did here was not probably how they do it. I would probably just do it the way I did it up there. This was a simple little multiply statement. But then I wouldn't get to show you how to dim something and all that good stuff. So that's why we have the second way of doing it. So then I said, okay, take the text, take what came in text hours work, and convert it to double, meaning make it a number. Stuff that is typed in on the form is considered text unless you tell it otherwise. And so I just converted it to a number and stored it in the work area. Now notice it worked just fine when I did the multiply up here. Okay? It works just fine. But there are times that you may want to store it and be very sure it's a pure number, and then you can do a conversion. So I said convert it to a number, convert pay per hour to a number, and specifically a double or decimal number. And then I said, okay, now multiply those together and put it in work gross pay. Notice there's no .txt here, because these are not from the form. The form has a box that has a gazillion properties. This is a variable I've set up in memory, and all it has is a place to hold the number. So I can just use that variable straight. So I said, take work hours worked, multiply it by work pay per hour, and put the answer in another variable called work gross pay. And then I said, okay, now I want to move what's in work gross pay to the form. And when I want to move it to the form, I decided I would like to make it look like currency, which means basically I want the dollar sign and the commas in there as the commas. So I said, take the variable with gross pay to string C, means show it in the format currency. Show it in the currency format. So I'm converting it to a currency format. And we'll look at that in a second.
Okay.
So if I bring up the form and I start out by running this, I'm going to click on Start. Okay, so I'm clicking on Start. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so Susan Ash, hours worked 40, pay per hour is 50, calculate gross pay is 2,000.
Okay, so 40 times 50 gives a gross pay of 2,000.
Now, if instead I want to do the calculate using the other button, I can click on it And it's now giving me the 2,000 complete with the dollar sign and comma. So I'm getting it in currency. And then I am going to clear this, and that clears it all out. And I'm going to close it, and it ends. Okay. So that's a very basic program to get started looking at this. Okay, now what I want to do next is I'm going to say file, close solution. Okay, so I'm closing down the solution. And then I'm going to say file new project. So I'm going to say file new project, meaning I want to start a brand new project. Okay, so when I do this, I want to use Windows Form application, and that was already checked, but I want to make sure that's checked. I can give it a name of whatever I want to give it. First in class, and that gives it both a name and a solution name. Some of the versions, like the community version, at least on 2.12, and I'm not sure I checked the 15, doesn't allow you to do this. It just lets you put in that. And then when you go in and start running, you should immediately do a save, and then it saves the solution name. Saves whatever name it is as the solution name. But for some reason, there are some versions of it that don't put both of these up here. Then I'm going to click Browse, and I can pick where I want to put it. I will go ahead and put it on the F drive. So I'm going to just let it be. And I want to say create a directory for the solution. So I want to make sure I have that. Okay, so I want Windows Form application. I want to give it a name. I want to store it on the F drive. And I want to create a directory for the solution. Now, when you send me stuff, what you're going to do is take these directories that you create, zip them up, and send me the directory. Okay, so you're going to take the directory, zip it up, and send me the directory. So now I am going to click OK. And it created the project called First in Class. Okay? So there's the project name. It has given me the properties. It's given me a form. And it's basically given me everything that I need to get started. Okay, so that's how I go in and start a new project. Okay, so what I want you to do now is go in and do a program. make a form, put a couple of things on it, put a couple of buttons up, go do a calculation, and show the result. So I want you to just go in and play with it and do something similar to what I did in my example. So I'm going to bring my example back up. So do something similar to this, but I want you to go, and I was optimistic about how many things we'd look at, because I don't think we will. So go ahead and try creating something that has some buttons and try different things that I just tried.